Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Drive is live. One third of us anyway. The Drive is live.
Hey, you thought I was going to let you down, Clint? No, I wasn't going to do it, dog.
I never in a second did I think anybody was. But you know, hey, B. Scott's in the building. We got to give him a second to eat here at this end of this segment. And T. Mill will be in the 3 o'clock hour moving forward. But until then, we got my man Figgy Fig, who is irreplaceable. Irreplaceable Figgy Fig. Big shoes to fill. Figgy Fig in the building.
What's happening?
What's up, Fig?
Yeah.
Best in the world of what he do,
hey,
baby.
You look good back there behind that glass, boy. I tell you what, with them shades on, I see you.
Man, see, I left my shades in my office across the hall, man. I should have brought them, man. We could have been in unison, dog.
There's no doubt about it, man. Hey, before we get cranking, I want to remind everybody out there. I need to do this a little more through the show today because I do want to make sure that the listeners hear and are aware. Stop number 10 of the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit is tomorrow, June the 6th. Tomorrow, June the 6th, Friday, obviously. Christian's Tailgate, Energy Corridor location, 1010 Highway 6. 1010 Highway 6, the Energy Corridor location of Christian's Tailgate. Come up, hang out with us. We got prizes, drawings, giveaways, listeners, and you got to be there to win now. You got to be the winner. Got to be on site. So come on out Friday. Obviously, it is called the Sports Radio 16 Crawfish Circuit. We will have them mud bugs. They'll be boiling them joints. And a lot of cold beer flowing, a lot of drinks, obviously. I've never been to a Christian's Tailgate, fellas. I've never been to one. So I'm excited to experience a new place. I've driven by and seen a few of them, but I've never been to one. You been to one yet, Figgy?
I rode past one, like you said. I think it's one close around here too.
Yeah, I know Tyler's been to a few of them and said he's never had a bad experience.
I have not, but I'll take Tyler's recommendation. He be out here in these streets, so if Tyler say it's good, I'll fall through.
There ain't no doubt about it. So come through, hang out, boiled crawfish, cold beverages, plenty of food and drink. Apparently, it is a kid friendly joint, so bring the kiddos. Got a little turf area, is what I was told. So come on out, hang out, have a good time. Let's have a little. I guess we can call it a football Friday. Man, we got OTAs going on. We got the mandatory minicamp right around the corner for the Texans, and so it can be a football Friday, if you will, over at Christian's Tailgate again, Energy Corridor, 1010 Highway 6 location. Come on through,
Clint. I look at it as the Friday between voluntary OTAs and mandatory minicamp, right? Because that's what we're gonna get next week. So it's the Friday before that. It's certainly a football Friday. It's football vibes around here, man. We've been out there on the grass. In the bubble, mm-hmm. All of that. You got a new segment called Texans Talking that you teased in the crosstalk that we're going to do at 2:40. So it definitely feels like a football Friday to me.
Absolutely. Well, I want to take a minute out of the gate here, B. Scott and Fig. I went on with Seth and Sean this morning, and you know, we talked obviously OTAs, but we started out a good chunk of the segment. We were talking C.J. Stroud. We talked about C.J. Stroud kind of from two different angles. Multiple times yesterday, it's a big deal. It's a big topic. They're talking about it nationally. C.J. Stroud not throwing at OTAs, and I think we need to check the actual level of concern, because I think this is serious. I think it's serious. It's a lot more serious than general soreness. It's a lot more serious than we're just managing a schedule and you know, than what the Texans are putting out there. And I went on with Seth and Sean this morning, and boy, I just banged out the answer, man, that my thoughts on C.J. Stroud. And old Seth said, well, hell, now I'm depressed.
I was listening.
You've ruined my morning.
He changed the subject on you.
Yeah.
He said, now I got to ask you about something entirely different so we can get the vibes up in here.
And then as he was asking me about something entirely different, he told me how depressed he was about my CJ take twice.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, let's clarify this. And I don't know where you guys stand on this thing from a level of concern. That was one of my other in the loop takes, by the way, Fig, was when y'all talked about the level of concern. Reg just being like, not really. I'm thinking, damn, this is the most important right shoulder and arm in Houston.
Yeah.
And hell, one of the most important arms in all the country in the NFL. So I do want to be clear. I'm not overly worried about CJ Stroud's health as it pertains to the 2025-26 season. Not at all. Not one bit. Right? But I am simply aware of how important the reps that C.J. Stroud is missing really are to him and to the ultimate success of the organization, given the situation, right? And generally how he is wired. This is an important part of C.J. Stroud, who he is as a quarterback, the way he approaches the game. It is very important. These reps are always important, right? I'll argue that they're some of the most important reps for guys other than like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and these guys that have the Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen that have played this game for 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 14 years.
Lamar Jackson probably on that list.
Yeah, I mean, I'll even argue that these are more important reps for Lamar Jackson than once you get into the preseason and you're playing meaningless games preparing for this is the time for Lamar Jackson to hone in on the little details of the elite arm talent that he has, but becoming an elite passer of the football. He'll always need to work on that side of it. And again, that's in relation to him staying one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league, you know, moving forward. But like these reps are just, my concern is not about the season. I think a lot of people hear it. They're like, oh my God, man, what? I mean, dang this. My concern is about if this dude, we know of, let's call it 10 days. Right, we know that he hadn't thrown in 10 days.
Yeah.
What if that 10 days is really a month? Right. What if that 10 days now turns into two more weeks and he doesn't throw it at mandatory mini camp next week?
Yeah.
Right. Like,
and they didn't say that he would.
Right.
They just kind of left it open. Right.
To your point, they said training camp, being ready for training camp, was kind of left open. Right. Like
all of it. Yeah.
That is where my level of concern is. I've not even thought about the 2025-26 season. Right. My level of concern is. This is the time to put the work in so that the team, when they start training camp, we're starting with C.J. Stroud. We're not worried about communicating. We're not worried about chemistry with the receivers. We're not worried about, you know, the center quarterback exchange being foreign because you hadn't got any snaps with these guys, you know, in passing situations. So that is more, just to be clear, that is more where my concern is – if you're of the thought, and a lot of people are, that, hey, man, these reps these guys are getting are insignificant, they're not important, then, hell, you shouldn't be concerned. You know, you shouldn't have a worry at all.
Yeah, it's interesting to me that you look at it that way, because you have a much better understanding for how valuable the actual reps are. I would say I'm probably not as concerned as you are, but to the degree that I am concerned, I would be concerned in different ways. I actually am concerned about the season and the long-term ramifications of it. But for me, it's more of a curiosity than it is a concern. I'm just more so confused by it. Like, to your point, is it really 7, 8, 10 days, 15 days, 30 yeah. days? We don't really have a good sense for the severity of what's going on. We don't have a good sense for the timeline of what's going on in terms of when did this happen. And then we also don't have a good sense for the timeline of him coming back.
Yep.
And so all of that just piques my curiosity. And to the degree that you got curiosity, there is concern because you got more questions than answers. So I would say for me, the concern level is relatively low, but the things that I'm concerned about are wide ranging. Right. It goes from the past, the present, and the future. Yeah. So it's interesting that you look at it that way because you actually have an understanding for what the reps mean. I don't as much, but I do look at it and say, hey, man, we don't have a lot of answers to the questions that we have.
Well, if you look at a quarterback that's going into year three that's had a tremendous year one and a good year two, but not up to the standards that he set by his actions and his play his first year.
Yeah.
And you look at year three and how important it is, and you look at how the dude's wired. I mean, he's told us all of how he thinks about his football year round. To think that first day I saw him not throwing, it was like, I could be a little sore. It ain't no big deal. Maybe he threw a little bit too much yesterday, whatever. Well, then day two, you're like, wait, he ain't throwing again? And then the third practice, you get to, wait, he ain't throwing again? You get into 10 days, and you're like, hey, how big of a window is this? And so if you look, you sit back and you go, hey, what if a young quarterback misses a month or 6 weeks of throwing in the offseason? That's a big-ass deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal, man. I mean, you can argue that some of the veteran guys, again, Aaron Rodgers, or guys that are bouncing around the league, if Kirk Cousins goes somewhere, I guarantee you if Kirk Cousins goes somewhere right now, he's going to be playing catch-up.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? So that's more of the concern. Let me ask you this. I tried to put it in my mind. I tried to put it in like, other important athletes in Houston and kind of put it in their terms. Like, for instance, we look at Yordan Alvarez, right? When Yordan Alvarez went out swinging a bat with an MLB player's hand, I would say is equivalent of a quarterback's shoulder, right? It's that important to him doing his job.
I think that's fair.
When all of a sudden we looked up and Yordan Alvarez, when he first went out and he just missed a game, he's a little sore. It's okay, cool. Well, then all of a sudden when they announced, hey, this is a longer deal, you know, and he's not swinging a bat anymore. Were you concerned then for Yordan Alvarez?
Yeah, the concern level, I think the point that you're making, the concern level gradually becomes more and more as time passes. And again, kind of even to my point, you get more questions than answers. And then, of course, the way they bungled the whole thing at the end, there's obvious concern. But yes, from the beginning with the hand soreness to where to the levels and degrees in which it changed, how drastically it changed from the beginning to the end, is pretty significant.
Well, then you look at it and you go, okay, well, if, like, to me, if you draw parallels with baseball and football, it's hard because you got 162 games and you got 18 games, right? So let's just say the games in Major League Baseball in September are the October, September, late season games and playoffs, let's call it that, are really the substance of baseball season, right?
Sure.
Let's compare that to an NFL season, and OTAs and training camp are kind of that regular long season, that regular MLB season leading up to the playoffs, right? Now that you know Yordan Alvarez had a fracture, even though it's 60% healed, supposedly, by the way, I mean, how concerned are you for Yordan Alvarez? Not now, not regular season baseball, but being ready and hitting on all cylinders when it comes down to cutting time at the end of the season and playoffs. Well, there's a level of concern.
There's
right?
certainly a level of concern, and I would even connect it in this way, Clint, and this is how they're definitely similar between Yordan Alvarez and C.J. Stroud. Yordan Alvarez has a history with hand injuries.
Yeah.
It happened in the 2022 season when they won the World Series, right? Yeah. Like he was here and there with the hand issues. Dusty Baker would talk about it all the time. And at the time, Clint, I would joke about it and say, man, he hit the ball so damn hard that his hands hurt.
Yeah.
Right? And it was funny at the time, but then 3 years later, it ain't funny no more. Even going into the next spring training, he was having hand issues, right? So following the World Series season, he's going into spring training and he's got hand issues. Now it's not as funny anymore, right? C.J. Stroud, okay, has had shoulder issues in the past, had a separated AC joint back when he was at Ohio State.
Yeah.
The last time we saw C.J. Stroud, I pointed this out on the air yesterday, the last time we saw C.J. Stroud on the field, he was getting his ass kicked and they had to help him off the field. He had to limp off the field after being sacked 8 times by the Kansas City Chiefs. So to me, Clint, the importance of it, whether you're concerned or not, and we all, it's all our own prerogative, right? However you want to be concerned. We don't have to tell you how to fan. But if you put it all in its proper context, Clint, the injury history, the issues with the offensive line, how he was running around not well protected last year, how the offensive line has its questions now, how the offense itself is new, all the fact that he's going to get paid after this year and the clock is ticking on the rookie contract.
Yep.
Like, if you put everything in its proper context, it's hard to argue that this is not significant and not important, man. Whether you're concerned or not, it is an issue.
It's great conversation, man. It's great bar talk. It's worth being passionate and emotional about it. And that's all. Like, I'm not concerned about the season. I'm just, it's one of those deals that this is, you give me a hamstring, give me a rolled ankle, You know what I mean? You give me a little tweaked in the quad or the glute or the lower back or something. Hey, those are all big deals. But say, that'd be fine, man. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Man, you start talking about them critical arm, elbow, wrist, hand of a player that's swinging a bat and makes his money swinging a bat or throwing a football or pitching a baseball or even get to a point of even shooting basketball. Even though if it came to basketball, I'd talk more about the knees and the ankles kind of deal. But it's a good conversation. We'll keep on top of that CJ Stroud stuff. OTAs, I guess they all come to at least the practice part of it comes to a head with mandatory minicamp next week.
Yeah.
And we will be out there and we'll see if CJ's throwing at that point in time. Again, another quick reminder, Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, tomorrow, June the 6th, we'll be at Christian's Tailgate Energy Corridor, 1010 Highway 6. 1010 Highway 6, Christian's Tailgate. Come on through, hang out with us. We'll give $25 gift card, Academy gift cards away. The Bud Light gals will be there moving and shaking, and we'll have us a good old time. So come on through. If you can break free, come on through, hang out a little bit, and we'll get you ready. We'll get you ready for the weekend.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Guys, NFL is king, man. The NFL is king. Major League Baseball, to be honest with you, doesn't seem to give a rip. The NBA needs to get it right. Now's the time. and there's plenty of opportunity. I'll explain next and see what B. Scott and even Figgy Fig think about this, what the NBA's got going on with their All-Star game, as well as these playoffs that are rocking and rolling. That's next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Not today. Ron Hughley is out. That man B. Scott is in. Brandon Scott, B. Skeezy, however you want to refer to him. Just don't forget him, baby. And I met my man Figgy Fig is in for T-Mill. T-Mill will be back in the building here shortly, but Figgy Fig is holding it down in the producer studio in there. NFL is king, y'all. Major League Baseball doesn't care, and the NBA needs to get it right. Now is the time. Here's where I'm at with that, man. The NBA announced, there's two things going on in the NBA right now that I think are noteworthy, right? The NBA announces that, which by the way, I like the way the NBA is handling their All-Star game. I didn't watch the All-Star weekend, if you will, and go, boy, this is all great stuff, man. They're blowing the doors off of it. But the thought of them making changes, being willing to take a risk, do things a little different, and then have a sense of urgency on the back end of it and adjust accordingly, I admire what the hell they're doing. That when I say the NFL doesn't even need to try, their product and football is king. It don't matter what part of the country you're in, when you're talking the sport of football and you're talking about the pinnacle of that profession at the NFL, they don't need no damn help, right? They got it all figured. They don't need to. Baseball just doesn't seem to give a rip. Now I understand it's regional and this. There's, you know, I get the struggles of baseball, but the NBA is interesting to me because to me that's the league that can benefit the most from being aggressive and making moves and making conscious efforts to do things different and continue to change. And there's eyeballs out there that you may not had 2 years ago that you're going to have as you make these changes. To me, that's just how I see the NBA, right? The product, the game is tremendous. The superstars are starting to fade away, and now you got a couple of more team-oriented teams in the finals. Like, I love all this movement, and I think you attract different viewers with a lot of this change. I want to stick with the All-Star game, though. Where I'm going with this is the All-Star game is announced that this year they will have – basically America against the world?
Right, essentially.
American players against all of the foreign players, all the other players.
USA against international.
I think they called it USA versus the world.
Versus the world, yeah, that's it.
I love this. Here's the commissioner, the NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, talking about this change and how and what they expect from it.
Next year, as part of our new media deals, the All-Star game returns to NBC, where it was when we were younger. And it so happens that next season will be smack in the middle of the Winter Olympics. So in fact, the game will be on NBC, and the very day we're on, Winter Olympic events, and then coming out of the All-Star game, which is now gonna be in the afternoon instead of the evening, there'll be more Olympic events. So what better time to feature some form of USA against the world? I'm not exactly sure what the format will be yet. I mean, obviously paid a lot of attention to what the NHL did with the...
Which was a huge success.
The Frozen Four that was awesome.
It was great.
But also, you know, going back, you know, last summer, our Olympic competition was a huge success.
I love the thought of moving and shaking, trying new things, adjusting, and I'm all in on... I think the concept, I don't care how they figure it out. I'm not a hockey guy at all, and I was into that hockey stuff.
Right.
Right? I just think that there's a chance here for the NBA to take what's been viewed recently, hell, even by Magic Johnson. I heard Stephen A. Smith talking about it earlier. That's been viewed recently as a disgrace to the NBA, the way that the All-Star game has kind of been conducted over the last handful of years.
Right.
To take it and twist and make that adjustment to where you not only do... you know, NBA lovers like it, but you're drawing new eyeballs. Because I'm one of those. Again, I watch the NHL deals for one reason, because that All-Star thing and that country-to-country connection was really, really cool to watch. Competition was cool to watch. So I love what the NBA is doing here.
Yeah, so I've always thought that the NBA had the most creative ambition. And so this is pretty consistent with that. But, like, the issue that they actually have is not one that I'm sure I have like an answer for, or if they have a way to solve their problem. They got a real big perception problem. And I think this is a brilliant sort of marketing idea and cross-branding idea. NBC's got the Winter Olympics. Yeah, NBC's got the NBA. Let's play these ideas upon each other, especially if they're going to backdoor each other in terms of programming. Like, that part of it makes total sense. But in terms of, like, fixing the All-Star game or fixing the perception problem that the NBA has. I'm not exactly sure how they do that, because so much of it seems to be tied to this feeling that the players have way too much power. Even if, as we transition from era of superstar, mm-hmm. from the old to the new,
yeah.
there's still that perception that, and again, the way the teams are made up, they're not, you know, the death of the super team is something that people have been talking about over the last several weeks, especially now over the last few days with Oklahoma City and the Pacers being in the NBA Finals. But there still is that perception problem that not only do the NBA players have too much power, but they also don't care enough. And that is, I think, reflected no more than in the All-Star game. Yeah. Like, I think a lot of it is actually nonsense. But when it comes to the All-Star game, that's when the self-fulfilling prophecy rears its head. And it really looks like the NBA actually looks like it's stereotyped. It looks like what everybody says it is, specifically on All-Star weekend. How do they change that perception? You can try to fix All-Star weekend all you want. And I actually credit them for having all of these different ideas. Again, even when they don't work, and I think a lot of them do not work, but I don't know exactly what they're supposed to do with this idea that their players both have too much power and that they don't care enough. But I'm certainly going to be into this, though.
Well, I don't know that you're ever going to fix that, because I do think I'm one of them. There's a turnoff to me, just generally speaking, of like, you know, whether it's one player or 10% or it's 75%, like the thought of like the whole game and really you use the E word, right? The effort.
Yeah.
The effort changes drastically down the stretch and in the playoffs. The refereeing changes drastically. What they allow and don't allow has changed drastically. Like, I think that turns a lot of people off. And I think it happens in baseball. I think it happens in football. I think it happens in basketball. I think it's just more obvious on a night-to-night basis in the NBA, because there's five dudes running around the floor and it's such fast-paced action.
Yeah.
And you can see every one of them's face. So it's magnified times 10 when it's the NBA. But there is a certain level of, even with baseball, like 162 games, like there's some fatigue of like, hey, games don't matter. Well, hell, call me back when games do matter.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're ever going to fix those kind of issues, but I do think that the effort, like the efforts, I think, will go a lot further for the NBA than it necessarily does for the other sports. Like the NBA, the effort you're talking about, I just think it's a – I think they're – Adam Silver and company, I think they're doing a really good job with it. And I want to move from the All-Star game to this year's NBA Finals that's fixing to crank up.
Man.
This is like I am a huge fan. I don't like ISO ball. I really don't care about the superstar thing. I like players and don't like players. I don't care if they're superstars or not. But the game of basketball being such an ISO game was a turnoff for me. The fact that you got two teams that are team oriented, one offense, one defense, right? Even though there's an MVP on one of them.
Yeah.
Like there's styles. I heard Red say the other day, styles make fights. This is a perfect example. I think this, for me personally, this is beautiful for the NBA.
Well, yeah, it's a classic styles makes fight. It was kind of my point of our stock up, stock down in the positions that I took in that segment yesterday, in going with the stock up of Oklahoma City's defense and the stock down of the pace that the Pacers have been playing at, which, look, I love it. Like, I question whether it's going to be able to sustain against a defense quite like this. But, yeah, man, this is like one of those ultimate examples of sort of team-oriented. I meant to actually mention this yesterday. They had this graphic going around about how the Pacers move the ball and move themselves more than anybody in the league. So both ball movement and player movement on a given offense, on a given offensive set, they do both things more than anybody in the league. And I don't think that's any coincidence that they would arrive where they are, given their collection of talent. And then, of course, Oklahoma City has the MVP and a real good collection of players around him. So it's a classic styles make fights type of matchup.
Straight monsters on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Someone's got to give.
Just like I think your traditional basketball folks that aren't in love with the super team, that aren't in love with everything revolving around a superstar, and aren't in love with get the best guy the ball and everybody else get the hell out of the way, like your traditional, like old school basketball fans that enjoy the team approach more, I think will be plugged into this series and enjoy the hell out of what they're watching. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. but I know I'm one of them.
Yeah,
you know,
well, the best, I think we should point out, the best players on the team, we may not think about them like this because they're such superstars and they can score, but they're point guards.
Yeah.
Tyrese Halliburton and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, these guys are point guards who can take over a game either with scoring, defense, or obviously passing the ball in Tyrese Halliburton's case.
All right, y'all, Texans Talking Baby segments that have that are birthed from audio coming straight out of NRG. We got a little D'Amico Ryans, a little football horny coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's beneficial to always have, during this time, a voluntary time where guys don't have to be here. I think it's very beneficial if guys are here because you can get a lot of good productive work done. Understanding the scheme, understanding the terminology, things that we're using, actually performing the techniques and executing. Everything about our off-season program sets you up to compete come training camp. So the more time on task, the more you're able to be here, get coaching from our guys, it's only going to help us when it comes training camp. So every person who's here will benefit from being here.
Everybody that's here will benefit from being here, right? There's your head coach. Don't take it from me. Don't let that text line get B. Scott all pissed off and make him go on a rant and tell you how important what we're watching out there is. Just listen to the head coach. The head coach will tell you how important every single rep is and how setting yourself up for success, or if you don't, failure. He'll tell you how important it is, man. Texans Talking, baby. A segment that's birthed from audio that comes straight out of the bowels of NRG Stadium.
I'm with it.
I think it's a hell of an idea, boys. I think I'm on to something.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm with it. I think that, you know, we have enough time to kind of give our opinions, and it's, you know, 4 hours, 5 days a week, you know, especially, you know, for y'all's case. And then whenever I'm in here, I get a chance to get a crack at it. But we don't get to hear from these guys every day.
Yeah.
Right. Like
yeah.
During the season, we obviously hear from them much more. And I think it's a hell of a way to fill some airtime in that case. But even especially now when you're getting them once, maybe twice a week, you know, as opposed to in season, when you get them 3-4 times a week and then on top of game day. You know, I think it's a good idea, man, just to kind of shed some light on what's going on over there and what questions are being asked and what answers you're getting.
Well, I'm going to start this thing off with the biggest non-CJ Stroud question that's going around the Texans right now. Look, the biggest Texans need going into the 25-26 season is obviously the O-line. We've talked this thing to death. They drafted a tackle instead of an interior offensive lineman. They didn't have any blockbuster deals at guard, center guard, on the interior. They shipped out Laremy Tunsil. There's been a ton of change, no doubt, but you could very easily make the point, and ain't no argument, make the point that they're not nearly as talented as this year as they were last year, and last year they really, really, really struggled. But I'm for one, am a big fan of the thought of, if you don't have five guys up there playing together, five is one, then it don't matter how good one Laremy Tunsil is. Doesn't matter. right? You got to have five guys that can build a wall. You got to have five guys that are physical and fight like hell. You got to have five guys that take pride in running the football. And when you don't, you're pissed. Take pride in protecting your quarterback. And when you don't, you're pissed. Not as an individual, but as a group, right? There has been a ton of change, right? Specifically in an attempt to change the culture in the room of the offensive linemen, right? Move the old head coach out that may have been coasting a bit. Get Cole Popovich in there, who's a in-your-face, young, pretty solid experience, kind of floating around under some really good offensive line coaches. Get Laramie Tunsil out, bring some other veterans in, or make room for your young guys that have already been there to become the leader and set the tone. How is all of that going in Houston? Don't take it from me. This is your head coach, D'Amico Ryans, talking about that offensive line room gelling in through OTAs.
Our offensive line, the mindset, I see it drastically changing. I see Coach Cole Popovich, his instant impact on those guys, you can see it from the way they work in their individual drills, the way they come off the line with low pass. It's just the small technique things that you see, how they're dialed in on their hand placement, just speaking the same language. One of the coolest things I've seen when we were working out in phase two, we work out, we activate our guys here in the bubble, and we all travel outside to do our different drills, and the see the O-line come out, and whoever was out first, they waited on the other guys, and they waited, they joined together as a group, and then they traveled down to the opposite end of the field to do their position work. So that just shows me that togetherness, that connection that I truly believe in. You want to be a great unit, you have to be connected. So Cole has kind of spurred that connection, that intensity, the mentality that I'm looking for, and we have that. We have the intangibles of what it takes. Now we just got to go out and get it done when we put pads on.
Intangibles. You got the intangibles of what it takes. I love this, B. Scott. I know you've got a little different take on this, but I'm going to tell you, man, I absolutely love this from D'Amico Ryans. You can only accomplish so much in OTAs, especially with your big guys from a physicality perspective. You know, you're not going to know which one of these guys up front can you walk up and punch square in the nose, and now you're in a fight, and he punches back, bites back, or he hunkers down and gets the hell out of the way. You're not going to know from a physicality perspective how many of these dogs really, really bite, but that doesn't mean there's not valuable work to be done. When he's talking about the mindset, the communication, the technique and mechanics, do you show up every day and are you willing to bust your ass and work hard just simply because there's work being done? Not because you're getting paid, not because other people are there, not because it's June and the season's up. No, but you just genuinely and sincerely are wired in a way of showing up and working hard. And do you care about the guys that are in that room with you? I think that is really important. And I think D'Amico is making the points of all of this for a reason. I don't think this is something that's just like, oh, this is what I always want my offensive line to do. I think this is a movement, a shakeup, a difference from last year. And hey, I think it's important, B. Scott.
Hey, there is no question about it. It actually amazes me that this is now the third show that I've done since I stood there and watched him answer that question. So I was standing right there when that question was asked and answered a few days ago. And it actually amazes me that it has taken three shows to actually get to this very quote. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Clint. For me, this, aside from all of the C.J. Stroud stuff, this question and answer stood out to me more than anything from the media availability from that entire day. Stood out to maybe the Christian Kirk stuff talking about the offense was pretty good. But aside from maybe those two things, this stood out to me more than anything. And I'll tell you why. And we didn't hear it in that clip because we cut it. But to start it, D'Amico Ryans says, and this is the only time he said it in the press conference, that's a great question. And then he proceeds to give you an answer that is lengthy, and you can always tell how much they like the question by how much time they give the answer. Mm-hmm. And D'Amico Ryans did that there, and then you heard everything that he had to say right there. And to me, what stood out about it was him basically telling you without saying it in so many words, telling you everything that you needed to know about how they viewed the offensive line that they had last year. Yeah. Now I still have some questions about whether the talent is there, whether they actually have the absolutely guys to make fair it happen. And they're in prove it mode. Yeah. They're going to have to prove that part of it. But in terms of what their intention was and what they were trying to do, no question about it, man. And that answer that we just played tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, the best offensive line that I've personally ever been around, and I'm not talking about individuals because I spent 3 years with Larry Allen, Eric Williams, Mark Stepnoski. I mean, they're
pretty
some,
good.
I mean, some pretty good players, right? I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about my college offensive line. You talk about a team that, like, I guess the way I would couch it to where people could really understand it and grasp my point is, like, I'm talking about an offensive line that played at or above their ceiling the entire season.
Yeah.
Right? Like the guys that forget about how talented guys may or may. If they'd been more talented, sure, the whole ceiling would have been higher, right?
Sure.
But the thought is with these guys, these are my best five offensive linemen. This is my best guard, my best center, my best two tackle. And as a group, they played at or above their ceiling week in, week out. And I'm telling you, if you would have thought about disrespecting one of them, you'd have had five of the biggest dudes in the state whooping the hell out of you.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just – there was – you talk about like waiting right outside the door for everybody to get out there before you walk on the practice field. I don't know who started that with the guys that I was playing with. And it wasn't necessarily all 12 offensive linemen that were on scholarship. But the core of the starting offensive line – yeah. If you saw one of them, you saw four of them.
Yeah, the guys that knew they were about to go get the real work
That's
in.
That's it.
So,
That's
and, it. And let me ask you about that, though. Why do you think that was? Like, do you think it was the culture or the intangibles? Like, is that – like, how does that even cultivate?
I think guys are wired a certain way. I think people are – whether it's football or not, I think people are wired a certain way of do you genuinely and sincerely care about other people? Like, a lot of people talk the talk, but when it comes down to it, they're going to pick themselves or the easy route over the friend or the group or what's best for the team. They're going to do that 9 times out of 10, right? And I think you're wired that way, and I think in a team sport where there's a lot of individual efforts, like a quarterback, like if I suck that day, like I at throwing the ball or my drops, I could individually go work. Like the offensive line, it doesn't matter how good one of them is. If they're all five not really good, then together, then it doesn't matter. And I think guys that are wired in a way of understanding, like, this isn't about like my ability to pass protect. It's about our ability to pass protect.
Right, right, right.
I mean, if when I got sacked, my guys would fight over each other trying to get back there and help me up. Right? I mean, that's what you want is guys, people that genuinely and sincerely care about doing their job together. And if your job is to protect the quarterback, protect the quarterback. And when you don't, you ought to feel bad about it. I think you just get people that are wired in a certain way. And whether you get one or two of those guys and everybody else kind of just falls in line, and now every rookie you plug in, now all of a sudden every rookie is like, hey, man, this is how we operate here.
Yeah, see, this is the part about the offensive line that I'm trying to be optimistic about and that I'm trying to envision exactly how that works. If you concede that this isn't the most talented collection of offensive linemen, then therefore what is the formula for them to either performing at their highest potential or maybe even performing above their potential? And these are some of the things what D'Amico Ryans is talking about in that clip, and some of the things that you're talking about from your personal experience are some of the things that I'm hoping that the Texans offensive line can tap into and figure out.
Well, the most alarming thing about last year's protection problems, in my opinion, is that guys did not seem to know where pressures were coming from.
Yeah.
Both offensive linemen, right, and your quarterback. Like, nobody knew. Like, if this team right here this year, B. Scott, this offensive line, if all we have to worry about is a guy that's not a very good pass protector getting his ass whooped from time to time, that will be a huge upgrade from what we watched last year. You had guys that just didn't know where, like a basic DN, D-tackle stunt twist, and you got guys out of position. They weren't out of position because they're not capable of doing it. They're out of position because they didn't think that tackle was going to pass that on.
Yeah, you wouldn't guess that these are guys that had seen stunts before. You would guess that these are inexperienced offensive linemen that you just dropped out of the sky never seen a stunt in their life.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's concerning.
Yeah, if you just clean up the quarterback and clean up the offensive coordinator and you get these guys communicating, all we got to worry about is, hey, man, big boy at left guard, man, you know, he's going to struggle with this week with that big fella. Okay, it's fine.
But if you can communicate, you can have answers for that,
but
right?
If I know that me and you are fixing to get into a fight, even though there's a good chance you're going to whoop my ass, I'm going to square up. I'm going to hold my own with you because I know what's coming.
Right.
If there's three of y'all standing there, I don't know which one of y'all's mad at me, and I don't know which one's coming. I'm probably going to get popped pretty quick.
Right.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know. They didn't know what the hell was going on. And so I think that's the biggest hurdle here for this offense. Well, this offensive line and fixing the protection problems. We'll see. There's your Texans talking. Figgy, what's your producer mind think about that Texans talking segment?
I thought it was pretty good, man.
You think it's got a chance?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we need somebody to breathe a little life into it.
Yeah, man, we're workshopping some things here, man. I feel pretty good about it.
Absolutely. All right, y'all, look, we got NBA Finals rocking and rolling, and we got Brandon Scott who stays plugged in to the NBA's damn sure come, if it's about the Rockets for sure, but definitely comes finals times. This is an interesting finals in the NBA. I got to get B. Scott's breakdown of what we're going to see through this seven-game series, what we're going to see starting tonight, as well as who's your X factor in the NBA Finals and who you picking, what team you picking before the series starts. We got to get that all knocked out next right here on Sports Radio 610.